Welcome to Tori Macha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Tzivi Zuckerman, and today we will be studying Sefer Micha, Perek Vav, Chapter 6. Here is a statistic. Did you know that the leading cause of death in the United States, according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, is heart disease? This statistic fits into what educator Alana Cowland has called the pleasure-purpose principle. So it has great alliteration, but aside from that, what does this phrase mean? So here's the idea. Hashem designed the world for purpose, as we've discussed in some of our previous classes on Sefer Micha. Now, in his kindness, he has created a world that comes with many pleasures, which of course are there to serve the world's purpose. So take eating, for example. What's the purpose of eating? Not pleasure. The purpose of eating is to sustain life. If you stop eating, you stop living. Hashem could have set it up that we eat a bowl of porridge once a day with all the nutrients and then we're done. But Hashem attached pleasure to eating, which is why there are so many delicious foods out there. You know, think strawberries, yum, right? But the purpose is sustenance. The pleasure is there to add something beautiful to it because Hashem loves us and to give us an appetite and motivation to accomplish the purpose. Now, what happens when the purpose and the pleasure get disconnected? We forget that food is there to sustain us. We get excited about how delicious food is. And as a society, we eat our way into heart failure, kidney disease, and obesity. When we disconnect the pleasure from the purpose, instead of sustaining us, the food kills us. So the pleasure subverts the purpose. Now, we're here in this world in order to build it into a place that glorifies the name of Hashem. So in order to do this in the most independent, meaningful, and godlike way, we're given different drives that motivate us to build the world. Revolva explains in Ali Shor, Volume 2, that the drives of kinah, taiva, and kavod, jealousy, desire, and honor-seeking, are really given to us in order to motivate us to self-expression and creativity to build the world. But the purpose of these drives is to build the world for Hashem and for others, to use these drives for giving. When we use our inclination for self-expression to serve ourselves, instead of to service the world, to service others, to service God, we subvert the purpose for our pleasure. And then not only does it not support society, but person by person, it builds a selfish society that can't sustain itself, let alone achieve any meaningful higher purpose. In this parak, we see this sense of purpose articulated in verse 8, a very famous verse where Micha lays out the central features of a Jewish life and worldview. And we'll see this verse is preceded by rebuke for not understanding Hashem's purpose and system, which even Bilam HaRasha understood. And then our famous verse is then followed by verses describing the lack of justice that exists in this type of selfish society, and then the punishment that will naturally follow. So let's dive in. In the first 5 verses of this parak, we see Hashem's rebuke of Bnei Israel for not understanding his purpose and system. The parak begins with a highly unusual lawsuit that Hashem brings against the Jewish people. He says, "I will bring the heavens and earth as witnesses against you because they've been around for all of history, and therefore they can bear witness to all the kindness I've done for the Jewish people. And they can also bear witness to the ungratefulness that the Jewish people have shown in return for Hashem's kindness." In verse 4, Hashem holds up all the good he did for Bnei Israel and all that he gave them. Ki ha'alisicha me'eretz Mitzrayim u'beis avadim pidisicha. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage. In addition, Hashem gave the Jewish people amazing leaders. Veshlach lefanacha es Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, and I sent Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam before you. Targum Yonason explains that each leader filled a different role, Moshe to teach the people the laws, Aaron to atone for their sins, and Miriam to teach the women, right, Torah Macha. Rav Mendel Hirsch explains that if the above list, miraculous redemption and top-tier leadership, is not enough to help you grasp the importance of your relationship with Hashem, then just remember Balak's plan and Bilam's response to it, right? Bilam tried and failed to curse and destroy the Jewish people. And he then advised Balak that the only way to really destroy the Jewish people is to lead them astray into immorality. their close relationship to God is the secret of their special place in history. So it seems that Bilam understood what the Jewish people did not understand. Even after Balak carried out Bilam's advice and the Jewish people sinned with the daughters of Moab, Hashem's patience and love for them has had and has no end. Min Hashitim ad HaGilgal, from Shittim, where the Jewish people sinned with the daughters of Moab after Bilam's failed cursing attempt, to Gilgal, which in Micha's time had become a place of idol worship, Hashem has had prolonged and continued patience for Bnei Israel. All this goodness and giving and patience, explains the Ibn Ezra, is Laman Das Tzidkos Hashem, in order that they should recognize Hashem's goodness to them. However, in the next two verses, it seems as if the Jewish people have taken a page out of the book, out of the worldview of Bilam, who tried to manipulate Hashem's own system to destroy Hashem's own people. They bought into the widespread pagan belief that Hashem, chas v'shalom, has some sort of need for their sacrifices, and that you could, like, appease Hashem with karbanos, or even worse, with child sacrifice. The people ask Hashem, b'meh kadem Hashem, with what should I approach Hashem? With one-year calves, with thousands of rams, with streams of oil? Or, taking this perspective to the extreme, ha'atein b'chori pish'i pri b'tni chatas nafshi, should I give my firstborn son to atone for my transgression, or the fruit of my belly for the sin of my soul? The Navi takes a strong stand against this warped model of I give you so you give me. It doesn't mean Hashem doesn't want our karbanos, but rather that he doesn't need them for himself, and he doesn't want them if they're given within the idolatrous transactional model. If you're giving Hashem cows to buy him off, Hashem doesn't need your cows. On the other hand, if you're giving karbanos as a sincere recognition that you messed up in this relationship, that you lost sight of yourself, your goals, of Hashem, then this gesture, done sincerely, is a meaningful way to repair the breach in the relationship. Avram Avinu at Akezes Yitzchak is the model for how to give a karban. Rav Shamsher Rafal Hirsch on Parshas Vayera explains that in describing what he was going to be doing in bringing the offering at Akedas Yitzchak, Avram said, V'neshtachaveh, and we will bow down, describing what he's going to be doing. As Rav Hirsch explains, he will not bring an animal as his offering. He will offer himself, his strength, his eyes, his body, his hand, his foot, his whole living being he will offer, together with the animal, upon God's altar. Rav Hirsch continues by contrasting Avram to Bilam and Balak. Only a Bilam will say to a Balak, Hisyatziv al olasecha, stand erect next to your offering. For his offering is not an act of moral self-perfection, but a meal offering, slaughtered before the deity to magically force the deity to favor the bringer's request. This inverted worldview is strongly challenged in verse 8, where Micha, in this very famous verse, makes his big statement, laying out the three foundational principles that he sees as underlying and encompassing the whole system of Torah and Mitzvos. Higid lecha Adam ma tov, uma Hashem doresh mimcha. He has told you, man, what is good. What does Hashem require of you? Ki im asos mishpat v'ahavas chesed v'hatznei aleches im elokecha. But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly or modestly with your God. Radak explains that the first two phrases refer to all the mitzvot between man and man. Asos mishpat is din, to deal with others in the proper way, as you're required to do, according to justice. Avas chesed refers to lifnim mishuras adam, going above and beyond in your kindness and care for others. Hatznei aleches emelokecha is yichud hakel yisbarach. It's unity and deep connection with Hashem, to love Hashem with all our heart and all our soul, like we say in Shema. And it's a relationship with Hashem, which is the framework for everything else. Now, this is the framework that we've mentioned a few times previously while studying the Sefer. The framework of what it means to be Hashem's nation is to develop ourselves fully as a human being, as an Adam, as the Pasuk says, in both of these realms, with a balance of justice, but also a deep desire for giving and kindness, but to do this in the context of, and with a passionate focus on, our relationship with Hashem. This is expressed using the word hatsnei, modest, private, because this is something that is, it's internal. It's inside our heart. No one else knows what our real motivations are, what our relationship with Hashem is like in our heart. Our heart colors all of our actions. A Jew's service of God is defined by what's in his or her heart. Unfortunately, the Jewish people seem to fall short of fulfilling Micha's mission statement. In verses 9 to 12, Micha continues his thread from the first three chapters, rebuking the people for their lack of interpersonal justice, accusing them of using false weights and measures, and stealing from the poor. In verses 13 to 15, we see the swift punishment for these sins. And this punishment seems to align perfectly with their losing sight of their purpose. If you lose sight of your purpose, if you don't use your tools in this world for that purpose, then why should Hashem give you benefit from your efforts? Verse 14 predicts, Ata socha v'lo sishpa v'yeshchacha bekarbecha. You will eat but not be satisfied, and you will stoop over because of sickness in your innards. V'saseg v'lo saflit asher tefalit lacher betin. You will conceive, but you will not deliver, and those you do deliver, I will give to the sword. Verse 15 continues, Ata sizra v'lo siktsar, you will sow but not reap. Ata sidroch zayas v'lo sasuch shemen, you will trample olives but not smear oil. V'sirosh v'lo sishtei yayin, you will trample wine grapes but not drink wine. Essentially, everything you try to accomplish will not bear fruit. That creativity and self-expression, which is really perhaps the deepest human need, but which you have used for selfishness instead of for purpose, to give yourself instead of to give God and other people, all of that will go nowhere. It'll be unproductive. It'll go up in smoke. It will rot. It will die. This is an enormously painful punishment, enormously painful human experience, to put your time, your effort, your creativity, yourself into something, right? Think a job, a family, a big project, and to have it shrivel up and go nowhere. Why will all this happen? Because v'yishtamer chukos omri, v'chol ma'asei beis acha v'telchu b'motzosam. The decrees of Omri and all the deeds of the house of Achad are preserved. In other words, you absorb the messages and the worldview of this dynasty in Malchus Yisrael who brought institutionalized idolatry into the Jewish nation. Since you absorbed their utilitarian, selfish outlook, you will also suffer the punishment that comes along with it. Laman titioscha l'shamav yoshveha l'shreika. So that I will give you over to be an astonishment, and its inhabitants would be a cause for whistling. Mitzvah David explains that this will be the reason for the destruction of Yerushalayim, and everyone will be amazed at what happened to this glorious people. V'charpas ami tisa'u, and you will bear the punishment of the shame of my people. Malchus Yehuda will be exiled, just like the 10 tribes of Malchus Yisrael, since they became just like Malchus Yisrael. Wow. What a foundational and powerful parak. This is it. This is what our Avodas Hashem is about. It's about asking ourselves the questions on a constant basis. Is my relationship with Hashem the context for what I do? Am I using my tools for purpose? And pleasure is a supporting actor? Or am I using my resources primarily for my own pleasure and comfort? Thank you for studying together. Le'ilu Nishma, Gilbert Carcenti, Menachem Mendel, Ben Saud.